Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
House with us here every Thursday. Always appreciative of his time joining us on the show. He's got his Twitch TV podcast. You can also find him on X at LCTR fan, at Lecture fan on those platforms, social media, etc. David, great to have you on the show here this morning, man. We just talked about this tragic shooting of these little school kids in Minnesota, and how the left is already saying thoughts and prayers don't work, and then they're demanding that you don't point out the fact that here we go, yet another radical transgender shooting suspect, a mentally deranged transgender shooting suspect is responsible here, allegedly. But man, you were just telling me about a story you came across. Apparently, this very Catholic school was begging Governor Walz in the state of Minnesota for more school security.
Yeah, I just saw this on theblaze.com. Basically, here in 2023, the Minnesota Catholic Conference Executive Director Jason Adkins wrote a letter to Governor Tim Walz in April of 2023. At the time, if you remember, Aaron, there was that school shooting in Tennessee, which was perpetrated by a trans-identifying shooter. And that was, of course, the Tennessee situation was, again, a non-public Christian school in Tennessee. And these Catholics in Minnesota were basically saying, look, Governor, our schools are under attack. I mean, not only Catholic schools, but the Jewish and the Muslim schools, there's lots of increasing levels of threats. The letter asked Governor Tim Walz to ensure that these non-public schools, these Christian schools, had access to funds that had already been earmarked for school security with a $50 million budget recommendation. And of course, what did Governor Tim Walz do? He said, I support the idea, but nope, funding is not approved. And then it's just revolting. And so they won't approve school funding for security. They won't provide school security officers. They won't provide school resource officers. They won't allow employees of the school district who are trained and who want to carry to be able to carry. They won't do any of that. But then when we have little kids, bodies are still warm. They have, you know, and then these Democrats will come out and turn this into an attack on Christianity, an attack on prayer. Jen Psaki straight up said, enough with the thoughts and prayers. Mm-hmm. Literally telling people, no more thoughts and prayers. I mean, when these people tell you who they are, we need to listen. When they refuse to give us our security, they will not give us security at Christian schools, and then they will attack Christians after a Christian school is shot up. What more do you need to know?
Well, look at the Liberal Billings School Board. Didn't they just have a discussion about school security and allowing trained folks in the schools to be able to have armed security there? And the liberal mob that's in charge of the Billings School Board rejected that. And boy, they kind of kept that story quiet, too. They really didn't want to get a lot of public engagement from folks. See, it's like so many things. It's anarcho-tyranny, and they want to use the anarchy to as a justification for more tyranny against law-abiding citizens. All right, more to follow. David Noble's got a great lineup of stories to talk about here this morning with us. So we'll jump right back into it here right after this news and weather break right here with Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With more cloud cover, along with some scattered showers and thunder showers impacting the area today. High temperature readings stay from around 73 in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. More showers and thunder showers expected for tonight as temperatures fall off to about 53 in Bozeman to 60 in Billings. Still seeing some more scattered showers and thunder showers on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. Parents often hear their kids say they don't want to go to school, but if that reluctance to go is happening frequently, it could point to hidden struggles. A recent survey by the Kids Mental Health Foundation finds not feeling well and exhaustion are among the top reasons students give for not wanting to attend school. Nearly half indicating they avoid school because they didn't feel well enough, one in five citing that they were too tired to go. Things like changing grades or schools, making friends, and challenging classes can lead to anxious feelings Pediatric psychologist Dr. Ariana Howitt says if your child is exhibiting school avoidance, take it seriously and first rule out all medical concerns because they could experience physical symptoms from anxiety like belly aches, headaches, and nausea. Dr. Howitt says it's also important to establish and keep a routine which can help keep kids going to school even when it's difficult. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, big show coming up for you on Thursday's Montana Talks. We've got the CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, headquartered, of course, in Missoula, Montana. They just teamed up with the University of Montana on a brand new hunting program at the U. So we'll talk with Kyle Weaver about that and much more. Plus, after that, we've got Everett Headley with Safari Club International. He's based in the Bitterroot, so a great outdoor-focused show coming up. Thursday's Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump into some other big topics here with David Noble joining us every Thursday on the show. David, so let's see. Since we just mentioned, you know, the Billings schools in the school district too, basically rejecting more school security to protect from things like school shootings, right? Let's get into another Billings story here. I had this story on our Montana Talks website over the weekend. Crazy car crash at 2 in the morning. Apparently, alcohol was involved. What now appears to be illegal alien from Honduras slams into a Billings Police Department patrol car. At first, all we knew was that he was from Honduras and that they believed alcohol was a factor. Then by late Monday morning, I was able to confirm that he indeed is now on an immigration hold, a federal hold in the Yellowstone County Detention Facility. But I know this story caught your eye this week as well.
Yeah, and going back to what you said, something really what I think is really important about what the Billings School Board did here. And you said they kind of did this under the radar. And they absolutely did, and you can tell by the way that they then justified, and this is classic, too. Well, this is what the left does with the Montana legislature as well. So the Billings School Board notices up, hey, we're going to have a meeting where we're going to talk about, you know, potentially allowing employees of the district who are trained, who want to carry, to be able to carry guns. And then, you know, it doesn't really make the media. The media doesn't report on that. But all of the little left-wing NGOs and all the, you know, the teachers unions, everybody else, they'll notify everybody and get everybody to show up at the school board meeting. And then, I don't know if you noticed, Aaron, but of course, then what the media reported afterwards is that, oh, there was massive, massive public turnout and everybody was opposed to school security in Billings and nobody wanted school security. And all these teachers said they would quit if we had school security and allowed armed and trained people to be at our schools and all this stuff. And it's an AstroTurf campaign. Nobody here in Billings knew about it. It's like if the Billings residents had known about that, if you actually polled the Billings residents, you'd actually find more public support for school security than not. But the way that they did it, that enables them to then go out and pretend like the public is behind them. And you see the same thing in the Montana legislature, Aaron. You guys like you and I, we got to be working all day. We're working all day. Somehow these left-wing NGOs can bus people from Missoula up to Helena and show up at these legislative hearings and have all this public comment. And of course, that does not reflect the will of the people of Montana. But then the media and everybody else reports on the public comment period at the legislature as if that's the will of the people. And it's not.
Exactly right.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh,
right?
Exactly. It's an AstroTurf campaign, plain and simple. And I was going to make that point you made about. I was like, oh, well, we didn't hear much about this before the meeting, but then after the meeting, they're like, oh, everybody came out against this school security plan. You know, one of the conversations we're going to have Friday in our statewide 9 o'clock hour, I got Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter coming back with us on the show. He's got the most comprehensive, as far as I know, school safety, school security plan in the state, maybe one of the best comprehensive plans in the country, where they not only have armed personnel inside the schools, and you may not know who they are, but they have an immediate response plan tied in with their camera system, so that if somebody sees something crazy on a camera, they can immediately notify first responders in the area, because sheriff's deputies may be miles and miles away, but another first responder might be closer, or they can notify the armed personnel exactly where a potential threat might be. And so this is the type of stuff that people like Sheriff Slaughter are doing, not just bashing people of faith, oh, your prayers don't matter, not just calling for more gun control and making our streets less safe.
Well, that's exactly right. And I don't know if you've seen it online, but lots and lots of people are pointing out about how the number of these school shootings that are going against Christian schools by people that identify as claim to identify as being transgender is really becoming more of a pattern and an issue. And of course, you know, it kind of makes sense, Aaron, when the Democrats in the media are telling trans people that Christians and conservatives and Republicans literally want to genocide them and completely eliminate them. I mean, that's the Democrat Party line, is that we are that people like you and I, Aaron, or people like that send their kids to that Christian school that just got shot up, that somehow we're trying to just completely eliminate trans people, which of course is a lie. But when you tell people that, what's a natural human reaction to being told that a certain group of people would like you dead, would like you eliminated, would like you? Well, a lot of people are going to turn to violence in that situation. And so this language that the Democrats and the left are using, frankly, I think is driving a lot of this.
Well, yeah, I remember. I think you and I had a similar conversation a few years ago where, you know, when another incident like this happened, and you had Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula in the state legislature at the time, you know, basically saying, you know, blood is on your hands. And yeah, when their rhetoric says that this is a life or death matter, if you're telling these, you know, people that have mental issues, that have mental challenges, that these people want to genocide you, that these people have blood on their hands, look, I mean, give me a break. That's exactly what's happening here. David, your thoughts, too, on the illegal alien that rammed into the Billings patrol car at like 2 in the morning over the weekend.
Well, I just think it's just what I find it telling about this story is just how consistently we are now seeing these stories out of Billings, out of Bozeman, out of Kalispell, other places in Montana. But you're constantly now seeing these stories of people being arrested or, you know, driving the wrong way on the interstate. I know that in Bozeman, you've got a big problem with people getting on I-90 going the wrong way. You've got people, you know, drunk driving and crashing into police vehicles here in Billings. And then, you know what I thought was funny is the guy's name is Johan Quaylar. And what was interesting is the Q2 here in Billings said he is a man accused of hitting a Billings police.
Not a legal alien. Not a man from Honduras. Yeah. Hold that thought. Right. We got to hit the quick break here. Stand by. We'll come back to you.
The Brett Baer Minute.
President Trump continuing his anti-crime campaign as he held a cabinet meeting in Washington, calling the nation's capital America's safest city and vowing to bring the same approach to other crime-ridden cities across the country, insisting crime is an issue Democrats cannot afford to ignore. Democratic strategist, radio host Leslie Marshall, you're seeing different Democrats react differently. How do you think it plays politically?
I don't think in the long run, Brett, that politically it is going to be good for the president, for the Republican Party. And this is why. At first, it looks good, but it's really not sustainable. You know, you have this going on in one city, and then you have the voters, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, independents, undecided, after the headline, they start to actually read the fine print. 53 cities, majority in red states, have higher crime rate than D.C., Memphis, St. Louis, New Orleans, Little Rock, Virginia Beach.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, What do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The National Corn Growers issued a report saying corn prices have dropped about 50% since hitting a peak in 2022. However, the cost of production has declined only modestly, making the production of corn unprofitable. The group said despite the plunging prices, the cost of growing an acre of corn this year is only down 3.3% from when prices topped out in 2022. Production of the grain is set to reach 16.742 billion bushels on a yield of 188.8 bushels per acre in the marketing year. The average cost to grow a bushel of corn this year is projected at approximately $4.75 a bushel, and USDA expects farmers to receive around $3.90 per bushel, resulting in an 85-cent per bushel loss. But cattle feeders are not complaining about cheap corn, especially as the price of cattle and beef continues to rise. Because despite record high retail prices, U.S. beef demand remains strong. A new CoBank report says all fresh beef prices jumped 9% to $8.90 per pound, yet consumer interest has not weakened. Analysts credit improved beef quality and wider availability of premium cuts for sustaining demand. Compared to 30 years ago, the U.S. industry now produces much higher quality beef, and consumers have developed a strong preference for it. I'm Lane Nordlund.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with David Noble. Man, we could keep talking about those stories. The Honduran illegal alien that crashed into a Billings police patrol car. But, man, we got too many other topics to get to, so let's just keep rolling here with our friend David Noble. David, maybe let's go next. This is kind of a woke update. Man, there's so many woke things to talk about because they still keep the left still keeps doubling down on pushing this woke agenda. But this was hilarious. I mentioned it earlier in the week. I forget who I was talking to about the no-no list. The Democrats have now paid a consultant to tell them what not to say. And that consultant has now come up with a list of words not to use, a list of words not to say. David, they could have just listened to you on Montana Talks and saved millions of dollars on all these consulting fees.
Well, it's hilarious. They spent all this money to come up with the list of words that they're not supposed to say, and they didn't even include nibblings, which was the original woke update here on Montana Talks. But they didn't tell these Democrats, hey, no, maybe you shouldn't refer to nieces and nephews as nibblings because you don't want to assume their gender. But they did tell them to, stop using therapy speak, things like dialoguing. Like, I guess that's what we're doing, Aaron. We're actually dialoguing right now. You're not supposed to use seminar room language, like subverting norms, cultural appropriation, systems of oppression. You're not supposed to use community organizer jargon, like radical transparency, barriers to participation. A person who immigrated, you're not supposed to use gender correctness, chest feeding, patriarchy, birthing. How hilarious is that, Aaron? These Democrats have to hire consultants to be told that, hey, if you want to be voted for by the American people, if you want to have the support of the American people, maybe don't talk about chest feeding and birthing persons. I mean, you know, Aaron, it's like this study. There was a study that came out a couple of years ago that said, you know, if you spend some time in nature and if you spend time underneath trees outside, you're happier. You're happier and you have better mental health than if you never go outside.
Yeah.
And it's like, do these Democrats really need studies and to pay millions of dollars to consultants to figure out some of this stuff? Like, don't say birthing person, don't say chest feeding, maybe get outside, spend some time underneath a tree every once in a while. But these Democrats, I don't understand these Democrats. They don't have common sense, or if it's intentional and they really don't care. This is the funny thing is they've actually paid millions of dollars to this consultant to say, hey, Democrats, stop using the word latinx. Stop using the word BIPOC. You know, stop using the word intersectionality. Oh, here's my favorite one. Justice involved. So if you actually are a convicted criminal, if you're a felon, if you're a convict, you know, you're not, Democrats don't use those words. They'll say that you're justice involved, or you're an incarcerated person. Instead of a convicted felon or something like that, or a prisoner or an inmate, you're an incarcerated person and you're justice involved. I mean, it is absolutely.
Remember the homeless one?
I think is
Remember the homeless one where it's not homeless, they're unhoused individuals. And then some news station or somebody was interviewing a homeless guy outside of a McDonald's in like California or something, and he said, "Well, what's it like being unhoused?" And he's like, "Just call me homeless. I'm homeless. You don't have to try to like sugarcoat this thing here." What was that other point you were going to make? Sorry to interrupt there.
No, I was just going to say, I think the funny thing about this is that even though the Democrats did this, they've got this list, they probably know deep down that it's not politically smart to do this. They're still going to use these words. I mean, look at the Montana Democrat Party. Look at the leaders that they have. They're out there still using these words, still pushing this ideology. And so there's something going on here much deeper, I think, than Democrats just trying to win elections. You know, somebody brought up the idea, why is it that the Democrats and this trans ideology always focuses on kids? Why is it that they're obsessed with going after the kids and trying to teach the kids to change their gender, which is a sexual topic? And I find it disgusting and revolting that these Democrats want people talking to your little kid about sexual topics when they're that young and little kids. And it's like, huh, well, I think the reason they're so obsessed and focused on kids is because that's the only type of people who are gullible enough to fall for something as insane and stupid as the trans ideology movement of suggesting that you can just change your gender. And then that's also the future of the country. And so maybe these Democrats are... Yeah.
No, you're right. They understand. They understand. It's like when the communists took over China, I heard a great presentation. Actually, I think we had them on the radio show with us as well. There's a ministry organization called Think Small. It's a Christian ministry organization that works to protect kids from human trafficking and sexual trafficking and things like that in places like Thailand and all over the world. And the reason that they're called Think Small is because they're working with the kids. They're preaching to the kids, they're ministering with the kids, and they feel like through the kids they'll also reach the parents. But the point that Gary from Think Small made on the show here was that, and when he's come back to Montana to talk about their program, is he said, look, when the communists took over China, they didn't focus on the middle-aged crowd, the senior citizens. When they wanted to change the country, they focused on the youth because they knew that the older generations were less likely to change their mind, to change their viewpoints. So they focused on the youth. And I think conservatives are finally figuring that out here. David Noble just said a few minutes ago when we were talking about the no-no list, the words that Democrats are now being told not to use. First off, can you imagine the turmoil in places like Missoula right now? You know, downtown Missoula, they've basically been told that they have to throw out their whole dictionary. Their whole lexicon was just thrown into the Clark Fork River by this consultant telling them. I mean, you think about the thousands of people that showed up at the AOC Bernie Sanders rally at the Adams Center earlier this year. Those are all the words they use. It's all the virtue signaling they do. But David, you know, you said they're being told not to use these words anymore if they want to win elections, but they just can't help themselves. They keep using these words. Not only do they keep using these words, but luckily for you, David, I couldn't remember which audio clip I had it in, but earlier in the week, they're singing songs using these words. There was some lady singing like Black Indigenous People of Color, and then she went down the LGBTQ roster as well. And it's just like, my goodness, not only do they keep using the words, they keep singing their stupid songs about it.
Well, totally. USA Today actually has an opinion piece up this morning talking about how the Democrats who most needed to read this latest memo from the consultant apparently missed it because the DNC just had an annual summer meeting here in Minneapolis this week. And guess what? They started with a land acknowledgement by a self-described indigenous queer woman who's treasurer of the Minnesota Democrat Party. And so they start out by saying, you know, we're on, you know, this is on unceded, you know, Native American land that white people stole in a genocide and all of this stuff. The DNC honors the Native Americans who are the original stewards of the land, and they criticize the ongoing system built to suppress indigenous peoples, which is the American Constitution, which is the exact opposite of that. So it's all lies. It's all lies. It's all hatred. It's built on hatred. It's built on hatred of capitalism, hatred of the American Constitution, and it's built on basically just this sort of evil sort of jealousy that's driving, you know, all of the seven deadly sins is basically a description of the Democrat Party and the left wing ideology. I say all the time, if you want to know what left wingers and Democrats really support and love, just you know, find a list of the seven deadly sins, go through them, and that's basically a description of the Democrats. And so, yeah, no, I just think it's pretty wild. They're even this week continuing to do stuff.
Don't eat healthy. Yeah. You know, just do whatever you want to do. You know, that's kind of, you know, when you think about some of this stuff that we've been talking about on the woke updates of the week, it's kind of interesting when you put it under that umbrella. All right, David Noble, hold that thought. We got to take another quick break here. Great opportunity. Let's see. How's my coffee cup looking? Oh, I could use a little more coffee. Well, or maybe not, but I'm going to grab some anyway. Hey, message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I'll check those messages right now. We're still troubleshooting the phone lines. Otherwise, we'd sneak in some of your phone calls here as well. You can message us on the Montana Talks app. Great way to get a quick message out there and be heard all across Montana. The story I was thinking we'd get to next, David has a story about George Soros and a potential RICO investigation.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Couple of great messages here that came in on the Montana Talks app. First, Tim in Billings had this to say. We were talking about the Billings School Board and how, oh, they tried to keep the story quiet until after the fact, and how the liberal mob on the school board rejected a school safety, school security plan, and they kept it quiet until after the fact. Anyway, Tim in Billings basically says, hey, you know, they have this text messaging system that they use for every other notification. All day, every day, they have all these text notifications that go out. You know, maybe they need to better utilize those types of notification systems to let parents in the community know what they have coming up at their school board meetings. Great idea by Tim and Billings, but I don't think the liberal mob on the school board wants that to happen. They want to operate in darkness, if you ask me. We do have two great school board members, though, I should add, though. Let's see, Mary in Butte. David, this is a great message from Mary in Butte. And it kind of gets you thinking. Actually, David, do you know the rainbow flag that they're flying, that the Democrats are flying as the official city flag of Butte? Is it the normal rainbow flag, or is it the black line transgender flag? Who knows, right? They keep adding crap to it every single day, I think.
Yeah, no, I don't know either, but the last time I saw the one with the black line on it, somebody was commenting about how offensive that is to just throw people into the LGBT flag based on their skin color. I mean, what these leftists are weird, and they just keep adding to it. And frankly, I just hope they never add me to it, because I don't want to be on that flag.
But now somebody's gonna make a flag with David Noble's face in the corner. There we go. But on a serious note though, Marion Butte. I mean, this message from Marion Butte has you wondering. You're like, okay, think about it. Like, this transgender shooter just killed innocent little Catholic school kids during a Catholic mass yesterday. And, you know, you think of Butte being an Irish Catholic town, right? And yet the Democrats care more about this radical transgender agenda, and here they are flying the transgender flag over the Irish Catholic town of Butte. But Mary in Butte says this. This makes me furious. Tim Walz was part of the problem, but he sure can supply funding for tampons for the little boy's bathroom. My daughter was in the first elementary school shooting in Butte at Margaret O'Leary with her best friend Jeremy Bullock. We need school and church security for these children and mental health for these kids who are mental. And these doctors doing these surgeries need to be bankrupted. And these trans flags need to be taken down that are being proudly displayed in Bozeman and Missoula. So that was a message from Mary in Butte there. Yeah, what a good point she makes here. Okay, so Tim Walz doesn't want to have school security, but he had money for tampons in the little boys' bathrooms.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. I had forgotten about Tampon Tim's actions that gave him the nickname Tampon Tim, but that's absolutely right. He'll pay for that, but he won't pay for school security. The other thing that this has really exposed Democrats on is how they actually don't care about gun safety and gun control. They actually don't care about gun control for the reasons they claim to care about. Of course, they claim to say, hey, we want gun control. We want the government to take away your guns. We want rules and regulations on making you wait, you know, a week before you can buy a gun. We want all that stuff. But then I saw online here, Aaron, a bunch of people suggesting we put in gun control laws on transgender individuals, and the theory being that if you have a mental illness, maybe you shouldn't have guns. But, oh, my goodness, now all of a sudden Democrats love guns. And they say, no, we can't do that. We want all the transgender individuals to have guns. So which is it, Democrats? Which is it? Do you believe in gun control or not? Because it's starting to look to me like the Democrats support gun control, not because they actually want to prevent shootings, but because they want control, because they want power, because they want to take away the American people's guns, because that's what the left always does. Look at history. Every single time the left has taken over, whether it's Pol Pot in the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, or whether it's the Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union, or you name it, the very first thing they do is take away the people's guns, which is, of course, exactly why our founding fathers were so prescient and genius and right to put the Second Amendment in the Constitution. But the Democrats' reaction to this latest one, and the Democrat reaction to this idea that we've seen online about putting in place gun control or restrictions on gun ownership for trans individuals, just exposes these Democrats as just total hypocrites.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to next here, this story, because I know you got a bunch of stories to share with us here this morning. But a story about George Soros, and apparently there could be a RICO investigation into George Soros. Talk about that one for us, David.
So Donald Trump sent out a post on Truth Social. He says George Soros and his wonderful radical left son should be charged with RICO because of their support of violent protests and much more all throughout the USA. We're not going to allow these lunatics to rip apart America anymore, never giving it so much as a chance to breathe and be free. Soros and his group of psychopaths have caused great damage to our country. That includes his crazy West Coast friends. Be careful. We're watching you. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And so I love this story because it's just like, finally, I've never understood how these leftist NGOs and these organizations can literally be committing crimes, openly committing crimes, in terms of encouraging illegal immigration, helping illegal aliens immigrate to the United States illegally. That's a crime. That's a felony. But yet these organizations have been doing it openly. And not just, you know, they're not just supporting criminal behavior and criminal activity when it comes to the illegal immigration, but the violent protests and supporting all these protests. And so I say about time. And, you know, here's the other thing. The media is out there saying, oh, this just shows that Trump is the retribution president and Trump is going after his political enemy. I'm sick of the gaslighting from the Democrats and the media trying to say that Donald Trump is the one going after political opponents using the criminal justice system. The truth, of course, is that that's what the Democrats do. That's what Joe Biden did. That's what the Biden administration. And the other part of the truth is, hey, Democrats, when Democrats commit crimes and then there's a Republican president and the Democrat criminals get prosecuted, that's not prosecuting our political. That's called fair enforcement of the law. That's called just straight up enforcement. The way that these Democrats and the media are playing this, it's as if when there's a Republican president, no Democrats can ever be charged with crimes. If you have a Republican president, there simply cannot be any criminal charges brought against any Democrats because that's prosecuting your political opponents. But when Biden was in office, you know, not a word about it. And so it's just pure gaslighting on this thing. And I'm, you know, sitting here looking at a Politico article about this. And the very first line, the latest attempt from the president to leverage federal power against his political enemies. I don't know why that's making me so angry this morning, Aaron, but it is.
Yeah, I hear you. So, yeah, it's interesting that you point out this George Soros RICO investigation, because yesterday I was talking about Bill Gates, Arabella advisors, and then got a couple of great messages from John Jackson and Greg Franks and Billings. But the one story I did not get to was a ZeroHedge.com piece where it linked the two, where you've got Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, cutting ties with Arabella advisors, and then on top of that, Trump calling for a RICO investigation of George Soros. Because really, Arabella advisors, this is, I called it, this is the money laundering outfit that funnels all of this cash to Montana Democrats, to these phony environmental groups, to all these Democrat Party front groups here in Montana. And so the fact that Bill Gates is pulling $450 million out of Arabella advisors is huge. Greg Franks says this, the rats are fleeing the ship and running for cover. If this is due to a DOJ investigation, this could be huge. Let's see, what did John Jackson have to say here? You know, I think he had a similar point here that basically that Bill Gates knows that these networks are rife with fraud and are being investigated, so that's why he's backing away.
Well, that's fantastic. I think we're seeing a lot of movements that are going to have long lasting impacts here, including cutting USAID funding, some of the stuff that you're just talking about. That type of a thing is going to pay off down the road, because it appears to me quite clearly that the basically the public support for the Democrats, public support for the left, has been and especially their policies, is 100% fake and astroturf. Of course, that's why Barack Obama and John Tester, guys like Barack Obama and John Tester, when they ran for political office, guess what? They ran as conservatives. Barack Obama, when Barack Obama ran for president, he opposed gay marriage. Barack Obama was publicly opposed to gay marriage when he ran for
So was Tester.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so you don't tell me that there was some, you know, natural groundswell of American people support for far left radical policies. It didn't happen. But then if you watch the media, you would assume that, wow, there's this huge groundswell. And then you watch the media and then also not just the mainstream media and everything else like that, but then the George Soros foundations, all these left wing NGOs,
the USAID, the fake narrative, yeah, USAID, the echo chamber, yeah. You name it, across the board. Yeah, great point. All right, another quick break here with Montana Talks. Just a few minutes left with David Noble in the house. What will we talk about next? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app.
I'm a kid, so am I going to surprise you with a poster board I need for the science fair tomorrow? Probably. But can you get up to 40% off back-to-school essentials on Uber Eats? Definitely. So order on Uber Eats and get up to 40% off.
Exclusions may apply. Check app for availability.
Fox News commentary.
The left has come out in full support of lawlessness and full opposition to making it better. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. 35 years on Wall Street taught me how to successfully invest in the stock market. In my four-part series, I'm going to teach you, too. Some of Fox Business's finest join me to help tell my story, impart crucial lessons from my Unstoppable Prosperity book, and give you the tools to achieve your own financial dreams.
Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Democrats are kicking and screaming because President Trump wants to clean up their lawless cities. And one of their favorite lines to fall back on is that red states have higher violent crime. Well, I did a little research, and while it is indeed true that four of the top seven violent crime cities are in red states, here's the little kicker. Those cities are governed by Democrats. St. Louis, Democrat mayor. Memphis, Democrat mayor. Albuquerque, Democrat mayor. Detroit, independent, but formerly Democrat mayor. Cleveland, Democrat mayor. Tulsa, Democrat mayor. And last but not least, Baltimore, Democrat mayor. Not a single Republican mayor in the bunch. Perhaps the crime problem and the leadership problem could go hand in hand. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With more cloud cover, along with some scattered showers and thunder showers impacting the area today. High temperature readings stay from around 73 in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. More showers and thunder showers expected for tonight as temperatures fall off to about 53 in Bozeman to 60 in Billings. Still seeing some more scattered showers and thunder showers on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
The left-wing operatives infiltrating and inciting protesters. Nancy Pelosi denying National Guard troops to defend the Capitol. Everything we told you back then on the radio and on Twitter here in Montana was just backed up once again by the former chief of the U.S. Capitol Police. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Check out that story and much more at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, for our upcoming Labor Day show, you can hear the audio with Chief Stephen Sund.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. AR-style rifles and magazines holding more than 10 rounds remain banned in Connecticut. Laws were passed in Connecticut following the 2012 mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary intended to criminalize buying or possessing semi-automatic rifles and so-called large-capacity magazines. And there are legal challenges now to this based on the U.S. Supreme Court's new standard as set by the Bruin decision, which tests gun laws against the country's historic traditions. But the challengers have yet again been denied an injunction. Both the U.S. District Court in Connecticut and now a three-judge panel of the Second Circuit Court of Appeals claims the ban, as per the law, is consistent with historic tradition, something other courts have not concluded. The law stays in effect for now. The challenge in Connecticut continues. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left here this hour of the show. Hey, about an hour ago, I got a chance to catch up with Danielle Alvarez. Danielle Alvarez is a senior advisor with the RNC. Had a great conversation with her. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to the podcast later today. But, yeah, last time I heard Danielle Alvarez on the show, I was listening in as our friend David Noble was hosting the show. And I think I was driving off to the lake or something like that. I'll tell you what, Labor Day weekend, man, there's going to be some nice weather across a big chunk of Montana. So looking forward to Labor Day weekend, getting out on the water myself. I'll tell you what, if you haven't gotten a family camper yet, or if you haven't gotten a family boat yet, man, I tell you what, go see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've got an incredible inventory. It's actually the largest selection for boats and RVs in a five-state region. And yet they're a Montana family-owned business. Know the Brett's brothers. My wife went to high school with one of the Brett's brothers. And Dustin, he does so many great things. But they got a great team all around. Aaron Brown, their manager, Wes and the crew in the parts department can help you out with practically any question you might have. But they got great locations. They've got Billings. They've got the Butte location. That's where a great Air Force veteran, Brad, is at Brett's there. And then the Missoula location as well. Or you can go to brettsrv.com. David Noble, the mic is yours. What do you want to talk about with the final few minutes we got here?
Well, first of all, I did enjoy that conversation I had with Danielle Alvarez with the RNC here the last time I was guest hosting. And, you know, at the time, the news of the day was about one of our federal judges stepping down and a federal judge vacancy. I opened it up to our callers and listeners to, you know, suggest potential nominees for federal judge, and got a whole bunch coming in suggesting David Noble. And so yeah. I told Danielle Alvarez, I was like, Hey, next time you talk to Trump, cause she does speak to Trump. I said, Hey, let Trump know that all the Montana Talks listeners are looking for David Noble to be the next nominee, which she laughed about. It was a pretty funny joke. But, you know, Aaron, you just started this segment out with, actually, it was really interesting because during that commercial break, I was like, hey, what's kind of the one thing I want to say here to finish up the 7 o'clock hour? And you know what it was going to be? It was going to be, I am so thankful and grateful right now to be a Montanan, to be heading into a potential or an actual 3-day weekend. It's not a potential. It's a potential 3-day weekend if you're you've got a job out there that's like that. But for me, it's going to be a real 3-day weekend. Sounds like it might be for you as well, Aaron. And boy, aren't we blessed by God? And don't we just have so much to be thankful for? Because I'm going to be spending some time in nature, you know, this weekend, and just so grateful and thankful for that. And we all, you know, anybody listening here in Montana, you know, we all ought to be giving thanks to God almost every morning that we're in Montana.
That's right. That's right. No matter where you're at, we are blessed to be here. We really knew that during the whole COVID-19 stupidity especially. But really, no matter the season, how blessed we are.
Hey, I've got it.
Don't you dare call it God's country, though. Good. The Minneapolis mayor will get mad if you call it God's country.
Oh, of course. Of course. Unbelievable. I got a quick Trump W of the week. Two Trump W's real quick. First Trump W is that Wisconsin judge who helped that illegal alien evade ICE. She just lost her motion to dismiss the charges. So those federal criminal charges against that judge who helped that illegal alien in Wisconsin is moving forward. Huge Trump W there. Another big Trump W, the Trump administration is now taking control of Union Station in Washington, D.C. is going to get Union Station cleaned up. So that's good. Another woke update of the week is this ridiculous thing that the NFL has going in their end zones where they've got end racism and stop hate and choose love in the end zones. Clay Travis has a piece up on Fox News saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we ought to let NFL teams have back the blue on their end zone instead of all of these sort of woke code words. And that's what the left does. They'll put something like end racism, stop hate, and choose love, which are frankly the idea of stopping hate, choosing love, ending racism. Those actually come from Christianity. Of course, the people that hate Christians and Christianity that wrote that. But what they do is they'll use words and phrases like that that actually come from Judeo-Christian values, but then they'll use them as code words to support radical left, racist, terrible policies.
Yeah, I saw a story about that judge that helped usher the illegal alien out the back door to try to evade ICE. Of course, he got busted, and now so did she. So that is moving forward. All right, David Noble, greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. KBU.